For years, Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Through deeply reported, narrative-driven stories, we're digging into the myths, scandals, and power structures that still shape the South, and in a lot of ways, the country itself. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Ah, good morning, everybody. Oh, it's nice and cool and breezy outside. No, not even close. It's brutal out there, and it's no fun. Absolutely no fun. I really feel these are the weeks that when they come through, when you get days like this, and they're elongated into the majority of a week, and what it will end up being, that you really feel for the people that are working outside, working their asses off. And might literally be working their asses off with as all the sweat is going on. You know, the people that are up in the trees with working with DTE or with the cable companies and whatever it is, the landscapers out there. I mean, the roofers. Oh, my God.
No respect for the roofers.
I got tons of respect for the roofers. Shout out Shana Roofing. tons of respect for everybody that's out there doing what they got to do. It's their job. And, you know, it's one thing when it's like, oh, it's 85 and humid, and then it gets up to 90, ooh, and then 95, and then yesterday was 96, and today it's supposed to get close to 100, all with humidity. It's just brutal. If you have to be outside, like obviously if you're working, I assume you know what you're doing. You know, you've been through this drill before, and you have your tricks to stay cool or whatever, and it's just awful and oppressive out there. And I hope everybody's taking care of themselves, making sure that they're staying as hydrated as you can. Drink tons of water, take breaks to get in the shade. You know, fans help, but they're not great.
Like a cheering system, support system, like
yeah,
fans like that.
I'm
like,
here
go,
for
oh yeah, work. Stay dry, stay cool.
I mean, when I get like, if I've had in the past, when I've had you know, landscapers working and stuff like this, I absolutely will do what I can. Like, hey, you know, open the garage and, you know, see if you guys want to get some shade that way. Or here's absolutely, you don't have to drink from the hose. I'll bring you water. I'll bring you cups of ice, whatever it is that you guys need.
$5 ice cubes if you have to.
I mean, you know, I got to make money off it. So there's that because these are expensive. But no, I mean, you know what I mean? You feel... I mean, even if I saw somebody three doors down, I'd feel bad and want to carry over a big glass of ice water to these people because it really is unbelievable of what you're going through. The postal workers that are out there walking the beat today and yesterday and the next few days. It's awful out there, man. But so stay hydrated. We got some heat topics coming up a little bit later in the show.
They need some more hydration breaks, right? Stay with the theme of World Cup.
That's right, because you see those hydration breaks in the World Cup. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's that. But let's get into the World Cup, which is something that I really thought I'd have a harder time saying than what I did. But I watched the game last night, as I'm sure lots of people did. Not everybody does, but the ratings seem to show that lots of Americans are really tuning in to the World Cup. And I think there's certainly a bunch of reasons why you would. The fact that the United States is still in it is probably number one. Well, number one is that they got into it in the first place. Number two is that they are still in it. Games being playing here in the States, that's pretty cool. But you're getting casual fans. You're getting non-casual fans. You've got the diehards. You've got all different types of people that are now kind of paying attention to this. And locally, because the Tigers played yesterday afternoon, you know, if you're flipping around at night last night and there's no Tigers game, what's going on? Oh, well, there's the World Cup. Ah, maybe I'll watch, maybe I won't. And did you flip it on? Because I think a lot of people did. I think the previous game, the number was like 17 million Americans tuned in to watch it. So I would guess that last night's is going to hover around 20 million. You have people going to watch parties, and even with the oppressive heat last night, there were a bunch of people in downtown Detroit watching it, in the Campus Martius area. It's something that is truly sweeping the nation. And last night's game, I feel like there was a lot to talk about. whether you watched it or you didn't watch it, there's a lot to talk about. And 248-539-9797 is the telephone number. Same number you want to text, all right? We don't normally start the show off talking soccer, but we will.
This has become your passion, Gator.
This has not become my passion.
I think it's guitars and then World Cup.
Whew.
And then dog videos third.
It might be dog videos, guitar, and then
World Cup.
65th on the list.
Don't deny it. Oh.
For a random Wednesday World Cup. Uh-huh. No, I watched. And I was, right after, I knew it was going to take a little bit after 8 o'clock. It was going to come on at 8 o'clock. So I took my time, and then around 8:15, I flipped it on. And I was actually entertained. I had it on the whole time. And I think one of the main reasons why I was entertained is because it goes by quickly without the commercial breaks. Now, yes, you have your extended time that they tack on for, injuries and substitutions and all that. And it's not really 45 minutes a half. It's more like 51 or 55 minutes, whatever. But typically, this thing just goes. And having that free flow like that, that running clock, I kind of like the running clock. Now, I don't think you should do that when you've got like a game like football, basketball, or hockey. But with soccer, it's fine for me because it's a 45-minute half. But I think that's maybe the big reason why it doesn't feel that bad, because the game does go pretty quickly. And as far as action is concerned, there's not a ton of action. I'll admit that. I'm the less than casual fan that's going to tune in for this. So I'm no diehard. The diehards are loving it without question. There's a strategy and all that. And I am amazed at the skill, the ball handling skill, if you will, the ability to dribble with the feet is incredible to watch these players and how skilled they are and, in tune with when to use their head, their chest, their knees, their feet, whatever it is, anything but the hands. But to handle that situation with the ball in a phone booth, it's akin to my wonderment at hockey players being able to stick handle in their situations. And it's the same thing with an NBA player being able to dribble his way out of a phone booth. I'm amazed by that. It's just, that's tons of drills and time spent working on it that pays off. But the game last night, I felt like there was something for everyone, particularly in the second half. First of all, in the first half, there was at least the one goal. I don't know the second. They had two goals total in the game that were called back because of offside. Then you had the first U.S. goal that was actually allowed, and it's exciting because most times it feels like one goal is all you need. You get 0-0 ties, you go to shootout, you have 1-0. Games happen all the time. You get a lead in soccer, and you feel pretty good about yourself. And the United States got off to that hot start. And then you get into the second half, and then controversy. Controversy at the World Cup. Oh, they hate the United States. FIFA hates the U.S. That's what I was hearing this morning. That's what I was hearing last night. Everything went upside down when Falera and Balogun, after he scored the first goal of the game, in the second half he gets flagged for a red card. What does that mean? Yep. No, what it means is that there was a foul on the play. They actually went to review the VAR, I think it was a video-assisted review. They went and looked at that, and then they came back and determined not only was it a foul, but yeah, a red card, which bypasses the yellow card for those that don't understand. A yellow card is, okay, it's a warning. Red card means you're ejected. But not only in soccer, in the World Cup, does a red card mean ejection for this game? It also means you're gone for the next game. So the United States holds on to wins, actually extended the lead when they had to play with 10, by the way. They don't just lose the player. They lose the player on the field, literally. So they're playing 10 against 11 for the remainder of that game. They scored a second goal on a free kick, and the free kick was freakish. It was amazing. Shout out to...
Look it up, Gator.
Yeah, I got like Malik Tillman. I ain't lying. I'm being honest. Oh, shout out to Malik Tillman.
With that freak kick. Not freak
with,
kick.
With the freak kick. I said it was a freakish kick. The way the spin on that ball, when you watch the slow motion replay and you see the spin on the ball, it's amazing. It literally just gets over the heads of the defenders that are standing, forming a wall and holding their schnuts so they don't get drilled there. And it starts to move right to left at the goaltender. He has a hard time picking it up because it's just over the heads of the defenders. It's not like it's from way up in the air. It was spectacular. They hold on to win the game. But the whole controversy about the red card is what has everybody talking today. If you're at work, I'd love to hear how things are going at work. 248-539-9797. Or what was your reaction when you're watching at home last night? Did you start getting texts? Did you start texting your friends or whatever? Because even a guy like me, who's a non-casual, less than casual soccer fan, I was like, well, this is interesting. And the foul that Balogun got called for to deserve, in quotation marks, the red card, that's where the controversy lies. Because it looked like it was simply a collision of players, and then Balogun's foot lands on the side of the foot of the opposing player as he's going to the ground. But he steps on that side of the foot. There's no question he steps on it. But one of the three criteria you need for the red card is intent, and they're saying, I guess, that he intended to do it. I don't know if I'd buy that, but that's what they were selling, and the red card gets pulled. And then social media goes nuts about this. You know, I'm on Twitter last night just trying to follow along to see if the Red Wings are signing anybody or if the Pistons have made a sign or a trade. Is there a trade going on? And I'm keeping up scrolling, and I cannot get away from this on the timeline. Everybody was commenting on this play. And then everybody was posting pictures of Lionel Messi doing the exact same thing and not getting a red card, or a very similar thing, I guess. You know, his foot looked like it landed on somebody's calf and not the side of their foot. And the player was a little bit more upright when it handled than what happened last night. But people were saying that was far more egregious than this. I don't know which is more egregious. I just know that our guy got kicked out of the game and is now ineligible to play in the next game. And now there's, you know, different talk. Can they appeal this or not? If they appeal it, nobody ever gets it overturned, so why bother? It's just interesting. There was controversy at the World Cup last night, and yet the United States, they gutted it out. They were gritty performers last night. They win the game 2-0, thanks to, check my notes, Malik Tillman and Falera and Balogun. I don't know how you pronounce his name. The funny thing is, neither of these two guys were born in the United States, by the way. So I wonder if Stoney has an issue with that. Stoney had a problem with the World Baseball Classic with all these players playing on foreign teams, but they're not really from there. Do you have a problem with players on the U.S. World Cup team not being born as Americans, but they're representing this country? It's okay now, the World Cup. Is that cool? That's fine. I don't really care. I mean, they're here. It's fine. 248-539-9797 is the telephone number. I'm curious how things are going at work today. If you guys are listening in the cubicle, you got the headphones on or the earbuds in, have you been talking to everybody at the water cooler? Is there still a water cooler? If there is, utilize it and hydrate. It's very hot out there today. But also, what went on last night when you were watching the game? Did you start texting friends? How did you feel about this game last night? It had a lot going on, all the emotions. We'll talk about it next year at 97.1.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Before everybody flies off the handle here, yes, Balogun was technically born in the United States in New York, but at 1 month moved to England. He was born to Nigerian parents here in the United States. They moved to England when he was 1 month old, and he was raised in England. not saying he's not American. I'm just saying it's interesting that these guys, a lot, not a lot of these players, there's several players that have dual citizenship, but they're choosing to play for the United States over other countries. And thankfully they are, because they're great players. You know, most of these guys are playing overseas anyway. But it's just an interesting little twist here, like the World Baseball Classic. I'm enjoying it. I didn't think I would. I'm not converted into a soccer fan by any means. I'm not going to be watching the Premier League. I don't care about MLS. My interest in soccer is solely with the World Cup. And what is it, every 4 years? Is that World Cup? All right, let's make sure we got that right.
Yeah, man, you've been...
I don't know.
I think you're showing the fact that you're not a real soccer fan.
I don't hide it. I'm not hiding it. I go to my sheet, look at notes. Malik Tillman scored the free kick.
No relation to Xavier Tillman.
Not that I know.
Okay.
Not that I know. I didn't say that. But I mean, this is the thing. This is what the World Cup brings you. It brings you morons like me that'll tune in for the 3 weeks, and then I'm out. I'm not going to stay around. It's just, the game doesn't appeal to me that much. But I was entertained by the game last night, and I hopefully will be entertained with a game on Monday when they take on Belgium in Seattle. I hope that they do. I hope they continue on. I hope they win the World Cup. That'd be amazing. You know, this is what the second time in the last seven attempts that they've been able to get to this Sweet 16. Last time they did it, they knocked out Mexico in 2007 or something. I don't know. Forget what the stat I saw on that, or note that I saw on that. But nonetheless, this is bringing in the casual fan. There's no question. I mean, you don't get numbers like they're getting in ratings without bringing in the casual fan. Are you that casual fan? Or if you're the diehard, love to hear from the diehards too. And diehards like rolling their eyes, like listening to me butcher all this and talk about this. But are you welcoming that people are kind of becoming all in on this? Because it's getting to be pretty cool. Let's go to the phones. And you got text as well, 248-539-9797. John is in Milford. John, welcome to 97. How are you, John?
Hey, guys. I'm doing good. Good morning. Yeah, I'm with you, Gator. I am a casual fan. I don't know anything about soccer, but it's got me hooked right now. Every time it's on, I got attuned to it. And this whole red card thing, I don't know. That sure didn't look intentional to me. Especially if you play it at full speed. I just don't see where he did that intentional. And the fact that they have to play with one less guy for the whole game, yeah. I had no idea that happens. And
then he's gone just, for the next game.
Right, exactly. It's a travesty that good of a player is going to be out for the next game. Yeah, I don't understand that. But yeah,
it's going to
be anyway.
Yes. I was just going to say it's hard for me to really have this strong opinion, passionate opinion about it when I don't really watch the sport all that much and see it, right? You know, but nonetheless, it's eliciting that out of lots of people here. I don't know if that was egregious in the world of soccer or not. I don't see enough games to tell you that. Yeah, that's a red card all day. I don't know. Right. I saw the still photos online about Messi doing nearly the same thing, and he got away scot-free. But in this situation, Balogun gets a red card, and it seems like there's controversy about that because it's not right in one regard, and it's right in the other. I don't know. It's weird.
Yep, I'm with you. And the other thing, is it the one guy making this decision, or does he have other people in his ear saying, yeah, he's got to go? I don't know, but it didn't look intentional to me.
Yeah, and thanks for the call, John. I didn't look. Do I know if it's intentional or not? I do not. I don't know. I do find it interesting that in the sport where they will review something like that and kick somebody out of the game and out of the next game and leave a team shorthanded for the remainder of the game for that call, that they'll review all that and have it be that punitive, that the sport basically ignores the feigning of injuries that take place on the field.
We're being punished because we call it soccer.
Is that it? I don't really care. Well, it's not. I mean, we've got our own football. I'm not worried about football, and that's fine. And I don't, because when I say things like that, then it means like I come across as being a jerk to soccer, and I don't want to be that. I'm not that guy. I'm fine with it. Like, Ken, you and I were talking before the show about how you and Doug would talk the last couple days before the show. By the way, Doug's out this week. He'll be back on Monday after the holiday. but that you guys were talking before I would come in about the soccer games. He would ask you about, hey, did you watch the game last night?
Yeah, I mean, every day, obviously, we're just talking and about the show and even stuff not about the show. But he would always ask me, for the most part, hey, did you watch soccer last night? And I would most times just say, no, I didn't. And then I think it was yesterday or the day before, I said, you know, he asked me again, did you watch soccer? And I said, no. And he goes, you're becoming hostile towards this. And I said, I'm not at all. I just didn't watch
right,
it.
Like,
I didn't say blank that. You know, like, right. I didn't swear.
Yeah,
I didn't
there's
come
a difference between, hey, did you watch the game last night? He's like, I'm not going to watch that crap.
Yeah, yeah.
That's hostility.
Yeah.
Right? Hey, did you watch the game last time? I go, oh, you know, I forgot it was on. No, I didn't watch it. But that's not hostile. That's just indifference.
Yeah, it's indifferent, man. Nothing. If I have time and I remember and all that stuff, and I'll turn on and watch it. I won't be like, turn that off. Put on Bluey. What are we doing? You know, I don't do that.
You were like Drew Anderson pitching for the Tigers last night with Jazz Chisholm on the base pass. Just indifferent to him stealing second and stealing third. Not going to watch. Not going to try to hold him on the base. Just go ahead and take it. I know it's the ninth inning and we're hanging on by a thread here, but you go ahead and you take those extra bases. Yeah, that's you with soccer.
There's no urgency. Yeah. There's no urgency, dude.
It doesn't matter to you. You're good.
Yeah, so no, it's fine. Then so I watched the highlight today. You were talking about and what we're bringing up right now, because I did not see it live. And okay, so I don't know the exact rules for a red card. Okay, so and I don't know if they explained this last night, Gator. Do you need intent to get the red card? Because to me, just as a casual who doesn't know the rules specifically, I don't know if I could prove intent on that replay, but what I can prove is it's irresponsible. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, you're in control of you have a responsibility for your own foot or whatever. Like, you can't just throw it up in the air and slam and land on someone's ankle without being responsible for it.
Same thing, and intent is part of it.
Okay.
I guess there are three parts
of it.
It looked like
he might be reckless is what they were saying. Like, you cannot be that reckless. You're getting a red card. Is that a possibility, or do you need to have...
I think there are other criteria that have to be matched. It's like targeting.
Sure.
You need certain criteria. And for the red card, intent is, as was explained to me last night, that intent is one of those pieces that you
that
need
you
to
need?
Have.
Need? Okay.
So I have a hard time saying that somebody intended to do this or intended to do that. I know famously years ago, I talked about that with, was it Teddy Dupe, who stepped on Mateen Cleaves' ankle?
That looked intentional.
That was a purpose.
That looked intentional.
No, it looked intentional to me. I don't know if it was or wasn't, but nonetheless, you know, you're trying to debate whether it was or wasn't. Same thing happens with targeting in college football all the time. It's like, can you talk about the intent? Because all the time, like, he didn't mean to do that. The game is so fast, you don't know. Like last night.
But there's personal responsibility,
though. Well, like, that's the thing that they allow for, at least in college football. And when it comes to this, should he have been more responsible where his feet were going to land after he, you know, they had that collision? Maybe. But, you know, because I'm like you, a neophyte to watching any of this, I'm going to take a step back and let everybody else argue and debate about it. I do think it's a little precious, though, when some people that are in my same shoes now are offering a very strong opinion on it and saying things like, well, FIFA hates the United States.
Yeah.
Or the referees have it out. I heard somebody call in this morning and say, well, you know, a lot of these officials, they don't even speak English. I feel like they're not even going to give the United States benefit of the doubt. And I'm thinking, okay, well, first of all, I'm going to guess they do speak English. And more importantly, what? You think they're going to have it out for the United States?
Well, that's how they feel, right? I mean, this never came up when I was the emergency head coach for the Watermelon Sharks.
Never?
Never. We didn't have to explain the intent of a red card. So I apologize for that. Yeah. So I'm asking the soccer elite or the football elite.
The soccernistas out there. I do think it's interesting, though, that they're going to have a review for this and eject the player, but guys can fall around and fake an injury all day long and there's no penalty to it. Like, sometimes there is, most of the time there isn't. And, you know, when these guys go down and they're grabbing their ankle and writhing in pain and pounding the turf, and meanwhile the play is still going on, all you got to do is wait 30 seconds and the player all of a sudden springs up and starts running back in. That's a guy I would penalize, but that's me. 248-539-9797. This is 97.1. You can't escape it. just can't escape.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tape the World Cup. And if you're upset that we can't escape, I'd love to hear from you as well. 248-539-9797. The show's for everybody. Obviously, this World Cup is bringing in lots of new viewers, myself included. I don't think I've spent anywhere near this amount of time watching the World Cup in the past as I have this year. Not that I've watched a ton of it, but
in World Cups you remember?
In World Cups I remember.
This is the most?
This is definitely the most, but by far. The only other time I can remember watching like an entire game was like when the women were going for a championship. I remember
Brandi
Chastain?
Yeah.
Ripping off the jersey. Yeah. The sports bra.
What year was that?
It was like 98.
Dang.
I think.
98?
Well, I remember it because I just moved into my house.
Summer of 98.
I think it was 98. May have been 99, but I think it was 98. Yeah, but I remember that. Watched that whole game, and it was pretty sweet that happened. And I've watched a game here or there, but not really caring too much. But I've watched several halves of games this year, and then I watched a full game last night. And then there were games that didn't involve the United States that I've actually paid attention to and watched some of those too. But you can't escape it. Like, I'm scrolling through Twitter here and looking at other stuff, and here's another. Hey, let's take another look at the controversial play from last night. Is this red card worthy? And watching, you know, Balogun come down on the foot. And, you know, watching it at, it's not completely slowed down, but it's slowed down from the full speed. I could see why. Maybe, does it make me a bad American that I can see why this is called a bad penalty? I mean, I think he blatantly steps on the ankle and doesn't have to. I mean, I could also see it going the other way.
Well, that's why I want to know the rule, because to me, if it intent can be part of the rule, but is not, doesn't need all of it to be all of it, and he's just reckless, you know, then, and you can give a card for being completely reckless, then a red card could be warranted. But if you need to kind of prove intent as well, then I don't know if you can prove intent.
Yeah, it's tough. It's so tough because you're watching it and, you know, his right leg kicks the calf of the player. And then the foot comes down on the side of the foot of the player as the player is going down, right in his ankle-ish area.
I was going to say, is that one of those things where it looks worse so they have to call it? You know what I mean? Like, the end result is really bad?
Maybe. I mean, I honestly and legitimately hope this doesn't cost them on Monday against, you know, Belgium. But it looks, this is one of their best players, if not their best player. He's clearly a difference maker. I mean, he had the goal that was called back, and then he scores the goal. He's a hell of a player. So this is going to have great impact on the team, where it was already, I heard Jim Costa saying this morning, it was already kind of a toss-up who would win this game before he's ejected from this game. So we'll see. I hope it doesn't end up hurting them. 248-539-9797. Wyatt is in Flint. Wyatt, welcome to 97.1.
Hey, how you guys doing this morning?
Good. How are you?
Doing good. Got a couple quick things for you guys. First of all, first-time caller. Been starting listening to the ticket here in about the last year and a half, and I just want to say that your station does a great job all across the board, across all the shows covering sports.
Thank you.
All your different personalities and everything make it great to listen to when I'm on the road. Second of all, I am definitely questioning my life choices out here working outside in this heat.
What do you do for a living, Wyatt?
I'm actually a drain cleaner. I do anything with the clog, but this is my time of the year where outside gutter drains get clogged up. And I'm out here digging up lines that are filled with tree roots and replacing them, and I'm already through a gallon of water today.
Wow.
But the next thing I want to say is about the World Cup. First of all, I grew up playing basketball, baseball, and football. And so those were the sports I followed. And being here in Michigan, obviously, the Wings were really good, and my father watched them all the time, so I watched the Wings. So I never got into soccer. But with that being said, I'm a very patriotic person, and I don't care what the name on the back of the jersey says. I'm like the movie Miracle. It's all about the name on the front. And I want Team USA, no matter what they're doing or who the players are, to do their absolute best. And the next thing about the World Cup I'd like to say is, honestly, I'm enjoying seeing all the people from around the world enjoying what the United States has to offer. I've seen nothing but good things of people enjoying our culture and the way of living here. And that's what's gotten me the most excited about it. And with the World Cup being on, you know, I work a lot, and obviously I'm not a big soccer fan, but I tune in. I get on the ESPN app. How are they doing? And then when I watch it, it's honestly, I'm just confused because I don't know the rules. And so that's a lot of times I'm just cheered for the ball to go in the net and not knowing really anything else going on. But that's where I stand on the World Cup. I think it's great. I don't care who the players are on the team. They're representing the United States, so they're representing us. And that's what I got to say about that.
All right, thanks for the call, Wyatt. Appreciate it. Stay cool out there. Stay hydrated. Sounds like you're trying. Whew. Out there cleaning out gutters and tree roots from gutters and replacing that. That's got to be tough work this time of the year. No question about it. Josh is in Berkeley. Josh is putting me on hold, so I'm going to put Josh on hold. We'll go to Clayton, who's in Berkeley. Clayton, welcome to 97.1.
Hey, good morning. How you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
Awesome. So, Gator, I'm like you, a casual fan, but definitely tune in for the World Cup. The one thing that's driving me insane, and I can't wrap my head around it, is the offsides. Of course, I understand. If the ball's on one end, you can't have a guy cherry-picking down the other end of the field and then have a breakaway, right? But, like, last night, our first goal got taken away because half of his big toe was right in front of the defender. Or
behind the defender,
one that,
yeah,
I don't understand. It's like corner kicks. Okay, everyone's in the same area, but yet you can't be behind the defender. You can't. I don't know. It just doesn't make sense to me. But hey, I guess that's why it's not America's game. I don't know.
Well, I guess it's once the ball is kicked, then you can get behind somebody. But when the ball is kicked, the second it's there, you have to make sure that there's a defender between you and when the ball is kicked. That's the best way that I understand it. But look, I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I'm, you know, Mr. Referee when it comes to the soccer rules, but you do the best you can to navigate through it. And hopefully they can explain it well enough and you understand it. But I mean, that first goal was interesting because you're like, well, is he really, I mean, is he behind him or not? Yeah, I guess he's technically behind him. So, okay. Well, just think of it as a blue line in hockey in a similar situation.
Right. Okay. Yeah, that's a good way to look at it. I mean, but they throw up that graphic and you're like, really? That's the offside?
Okay, sure. Oh, that's clearly offside. Oh, okay. Thank you. Yeah, well, but you're watching, though, right, Clayton? I mean, you are watching.
Yeah. No, totally watching. It's super exciting. Have we ever been, I should probably know this, have we ever been to the round of 16? We ever made it this far?
Yeah, the last time they did, they had beaten Mexico to get there, but it's been a while, like 20 years or so since that happened. I think it was 20
years. Got it. Well, I appreciate it, guys. You guys stay cool out there. Let's go USA.
All right. Thanks, Clayton. Appreciate it. 248-539-9797. We got some ticket texts that have come in wanting to talk about this as well. Last night's game, that red card was bogus. Made a nice, easy game, too tense. That's from Geyer. It was very tense last night, no question about that. I don't know if it was bogus or not, but that's how it was called. What I do know is, man, that is a punitive rule. You know, in hockey, you get a penalty, you're shorthanded for a couple minutes, maybe as many as five if you get a major and you have to play shorthanded. You get a red card in the soccer game, you're shorthanded for the rest of the game. And then you lose that guy for the next game? I think targeting in football and college football, right? You get a targeting penalty, you're out for the rest of that game. And if you get targeted in the second half of a game, you're out for the first half of the next game. That's punitive. But at least you guys get to go out there and replace the player that just got kicked out. Not in soccer.
No, man, they want to make some real consequences here to stop you from doing this, right?
Yeah. And look, this is me as an American watching it. If you really want to appeal to me as the American fan and get me in, do the same thing or something similar to the flopping. Or start to call it more often than what they do, because the flopping is absolutely ridiculous. Every team does it, including the United States.
But I think the thing is, the flopping we all think is ridiculous, of course. But with the red card injury thing, like intent to hurt someone, they're like, you're trying to take out a guy, guess what? You're out now. That's what they're saying, right?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Flopping doesn't take out anybody. It just looks ridiculous.
No, but I'd like to at least, like, you know, bring a yellow card up to give a warning. If you do it again, then you're gone. You know, something like that. I'd like to have some kind of officiating done that way. I mean, the flopping is just so unappealing. It's really, it really is a turnoff. And like, these are tremendous athletes doing what they can, and then, you know, you barely get shoved and they turn into, I mean, you could say they turn into an NBA player.
Sure. I mean, you say that and we say that and I say that, but it's literally the world's most popular sport. The entire world.
Yep.
You
know? And I would have to imagine that people in Portugal, in Brazil,
I don't know. I don't
China,
think they feel the same.
You don't think the fans dislike the flopping?
I dislike and feel the same way.
With their disapproval?
There's a difference between like just like disliking it and like hating it. Like I feel like Americans
maybe,
do. You know?
I do hate it. Do you hate it?
No, I don't know why they...
I'm asking you if you hate it.
No, I hate it. Okay. But I think... I don't know if they accepted it or is they just... They're used to it. I don't know. But the rest of the world, you know, they deal with it. And it's, the, like I said, the number one sport.
So is this our best American soccer team ever? Looks like we're favored against Belgium, which I did not expect at all. That's an unnamed ticket texter. Yeah, I don't know. Is this the best team ever? Sure. Best team I've seen. I don't know. I haven't paid too much attention to it in the past, but these guys look pretty good.
Yeah, the farthest that the U.S. men's national soccer team has ever made it was a semifinals in 1930.
Yeah, so they've never won the World Cup. I think they got to, how was it, the Field of Eight in 1960 or something like that. But you're talking 1930, they made it to the semifinals. Yeah.
But, okay, so I'm not even asking for, like, the best result U.S. soccer has ever done. But, like, coming into this tournament, I don't – maybe because I didn't follow it, Gator. But you know how, like, we don't know in the other sports, like basketball, hockey, like, we know how good of a team we have. Like, hey, this is the dream team. This is the best. Was this billed as the best U.S. team ever? You just shrugged your shoulders.
I don't know.
So I'm asking, maybe like I'm not
you're
asking you.
The wrong guy.
I'm asking people out there.
Yeah,
I guess.
That's what we'd love to hear. 248-539-9797. I mean, what were the expectations going into this and where are they now? I mean, because the games I watched, Kang, they look dominant. Like, even when they were shorthanded last night, they looked dominant. Like, Bosnia and Herzegovina had the man advantage and they didn't take advantage of it. I'm like, you guys have 10 minutes left. Like, we're at the 90 minute mark and you know that you've got 10 minutes of extra time. You might want to start pressing a little bit and forcing the action here. And they weren't. And in large part because the United States did just such a great job of keeping the ball away and keeping the pressure on. The fact that they got a second goal down a man is really impressive. 248-539-9797 is a telephone number. We're talking World Cup. We're going to get into some Pistons talk coming up at 11:05. The Red Wings were making some moves yesterday to add some serious toughness to the team, which is great, but don't know if it's necessarily making them better. We'll see what happens there. And the Tigers, hey, they swept the Yankees. That's lots of fun. We'll talk about all that more next here on 97.1. Doug Karsh on the call.
Doug wishes. He could only dream.
That was the first goal from Balogun. As I check my notes again. I admit, I'm not the soccer fan, okay?
He looked down and goes, Balogun.
Balogun. Yeah, I'm like, do I want to try to pronounce Falaron Balogun? Sure. That's it. Is it? Yeah. Well, the first time I saw it last night, Kang, like you when we talked this morning, I thought it was Florian.
Yep.
Like Kenny Florian, the MMA fighter. It's Ken Flo. We got Florian Balogun. That's a weird name. And then I'm going through the Twitter feeds last night and everybody's writing it as Falaron. I'm like, no, it's Florian. Like, I got to look this name up. I don't think I'm buying this. You know, and then I see, they look up him up and, oh, it is Falaron. Okay, sure. In hometown, England. All right, here we go. Works for me. Sure, whatever. That's good. Heck of a player, and now he's out against Belgium, and That game will be Monday in Seattle. I imagine that crowd is going to be insane. I saw somebody last night said that the get-in price for that game last night was $3,100 to get in. You talk about the Knicks game to close out San Antonio, and the price was like $2,500, $3,000 to get in there. Well, the Garden seats 20,000 people. You know, Seattle Stadium seats, what, 70? Good grief. That's a lot of money. And now FIFA's going, yep, this is what we planned on. So for all the people that think that FIFA has it in for the United States, do you really? Because I think FIFA would love for the United States to keep advancing, given that we're the host country, driving the prices up. They control that stuff. Very interesting. But I found the game last night entertaining. I enjoyed it. It, to the point where it's going to have me watching soccer here on out? No, I'm not there. And I'm not trying to be tough exterior guy and be like, I'm anti-soccer. I'm not anti-soccer. The game just doesn't really appeal to me that much unless you get a World Cup thing, and then I'm kind of all in. Just like I'm sure there are people out there that don't give a rip about hockey until the Olympics come around. Same thing. 248-539-9797. Some more texts coming in. Not much of a soccer fan, but me and my buddies, we went to Woodhaven Buffalo Wild Wings game last night for the game. Honestly, might have been the best experience. And Kang, this is something you and I have talked about that you and I agree with. Soccer to watch at a bar might be the best bar sports viewing you can get.
Yeah, I think soccer is a good bar sport. Very
Everybody's
good bar sport.
On board. You know, whereas like you go there, if you go to the bar to watch like the Michigan State game, it's a house divided. But if you go to watch soccer game, it's Team USA. We're all in tune here, right? Everybody's rooting for the same team. It's got to be crazy.
Well, I mean, obviously you have the, you know, patriotic side of it, but I just feel like the sport itself is better for like, because there is a lot of downtime, yeah. Right? You know what I mean? You don't have to completely focus on it. You can drink your beer.
You don't really need the commentary.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then, you know, there's chants, and then when there is a goal, look at what, I mean, they celebrate like, yeah. Like that might be the only goal.
Doug went nuts on that goal.
Like the entire game, that might be it. So let it out and celebrate, man.
Yeah, exactly. This might be the only opportunity I have to say that somebody scored, so let them hear about it.
He said goal four different times, but there was only one goal scored.
Well, that's right.
In that cut.
In the cut, just one. Yeah. Two in the game. Well, technically there were four in the game, but two were called back.
That yes. Call that I just played.
Yeah, that guy. Yes, man, that red card was blasphemous. It wasn't intentional at all. Should have been a yellow at most. Complete robbery, says Marcus. Okay. You know, we're asking the people. I'm a less than casual fan. I'd love to hear from diehard soccer fans. Was it really that? Was it an egregious call? Did they make a mistake? Or could you see, understand why it was called that way? What I think is crazy is the penalty for it that you're out for the next game. That's wild. That's a lot. Let's get back to the phones. And Randy is next here at 97.1. Hey, Randy.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Just first of all, that goal call is amazing, the one you guys just played a minute ago.
Yeah, I thought Doug did a great job on that.
kind of put it up there with the gentleman who's the referee in NHL that likes to get into calling.
Yeah, Wes McCauley. He's great.
Yeah. No, what I wanted to touch on, first of all, I will say, casual soccer fan, I never thought I'd call in about soccer. I grew up football and hockey guys, so, you know, to me, to watch these guys flop around is a little sickening. But if they're not going to call flopping penalties, I think what could fix that is if they were to make them leave the game every time they act hurt, I think they would stop acting hurt. But as far as the red card situation, to me, once they played it in slow motion, to me, it was obvious that it wasn't intentional. And it was because when you look closely, he's looking downfield, and that's when he steps on his foot. If he did like the Ndamukong Suh and he's actually looking at it and stomps on his ankle, then, yeah, give him the red card. But at best, it should have been a yellow because he wasn't even looking at the guy. He was looking downfield when he stepped on his ankle. So that was pretty much it.
It's funny you bring up Sue because remember when, and thanks for the call, I appreciate that. Can you remember when Sue was with the Lions that he was going to, he wanted to kick because he played soccer as a kid. Can you imagine if it's Ndamukong Suh doing that last night?
Well, he actually did kick an extra point in the preseason.
He
didn't
did.
He?
Yeah. Okay. Or, and I think, did he make it or he missed it? I thought he missed it.
I think he missed it. But, and then he also had the stomping issue.
Yeah, but that's what I'm
Packer,
saying.
Right? And he said he was trying to release his foot from
right,
the guy.
I was trying to what?
Yeah, I think it goes back to be you have to be responsible for your own foot, and it looked reckless. Like, he looked like he was kind of stomping like an. Like a possum or something. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he was like, like, it doesn't it look like.
Without looking down
yes,
at
exactly.
It,
yeah. I think you have to, it doesn't matter if you're looking or not.
It's like he feels the tail of the possum on his leg, and he's going to shake it off.
That's what I'm assuming, because the experts, not me or you or the callers, the experts
I'm no expert.
Said it was a red card. They gave him the red card.
Yeah. As far as the flopping is concerned, Jimmy, our boss came in. We were talking during a break a little bit. I think that I came to this conclusion. I think one of the reasons that they allow the flopping to happen is because the game is a running clock, and they don't mind the stoppages every once in a while. Like, hey, you know what? We've been going for like 10 minutes straight here. You want to flop around? We're going to call time out here and make sure you're okay, even though we know that you're completely embellishing, but we could all use a 45-second rest here. We'll see how that goes. 248-539-9797 is the telephone number. More of your calls and texts. We're going to get in some Piston talk and Red Wing talk as well as we continue here. We'll continue the discussion with the World Cup as well on 97.1.
On the Powers That Be podcast, we examine the players and currents behind today's most consequential decisions. Join us. Listen to the Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.